We're gonna do that early again, right?
We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We'll start with pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you everybody for showing up tonight. Is there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda? Okay, here none. We'll take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Thank you, everybody. Consent agenda, is there any item in there?
Nope.
Not, I would take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everybody. Up next, let's see. I got no visitor cards.
I think we'll move right into the old business and public hearing for tonight.
Can, I just got one thing under Mayor's report. Under the, actually, two items for me under Mayor's report. We have, just a reminder, the city plows the snow. They put up piles in certain neighborhoods, and kids are playing in them, and adults. Just remember, it's not safe. The city will not know if you're in there when they come to snow blow or payload or out, so please be careful. We don't want anybody to get injured, and we really don't want somebody from Public Works to injure somebody, because they're gonna feel really bad trying to do their job, and, yeah, so please be careful. The other one, 16th Street Northwest, I don't know if you noticed, is open. Temporary, we'll see. Next season, we'll have to finish the project, so we'll be getting closed down. We just don't know the exact details yet. So, but it is open for now. Be careful out there, it's not gonna be striped. So it's open, but, you know, not...
It's great, I mean, it might, it cuts down on time.
Yes.
So, what are you saying about that?
It's great that it's, at least we're that far. We'll get her finished up as soon as we can next year. So, alright. And now, you said old business?
Sure, well, moving on to public hearings and old business here, and the big topic tonight is the budget. Including your package, you have a number of items, and one of them, I wanna just note, the tax notices, which hopefully everyone has gotten theirs now. I know I didn't get mine until yesterday, so...
Neither did I.
It might actually have worked out well. The county put the wrong date on the notices. So you'll see in there apology letter from, Mr. Renga up at the county. When he proofed the statements that went out to people's mailboxes, they put December 10th on them. So what my recommendation is tonight is we'll start our public hearing, and then we'll recess it, and then we'll bring it back, and we'll finish it on the 10th. Because I, you know, and frankly, since people probably just got their statements yesterday, it's probably good to let people have time too if they have any other comments. I think that's very fair. I think it's good, and, you know, we're always open for questions. So I did include his letter, so I appreciate him taking responsibility for that, and, I don't think it'll work out fine anyways. Including there, like I said, there are a couple items. You've got a general budget overview, so why don't you go to that, Sarah? And that kind of is the front page, we always call that. You can kind of see where we're at. We started at 7.8%. We've reduced that down to 6.45%, with a number of reductions related to various departments. Obviously, the healthcare changes that the council approved in October, that went from a budgeted 20% down to, you know, 12.5%, 13% number. That is taken into account there. There's some changes in the various departments in the general fund. And those are broken down further into the budget there. We did put up an actual preliminary tax statement, so if you bring that up, Sarah. And this is an interesting one. So we find that the tax changes this year track very closely on valuation changes, and that's typical for us here in Casson, not necessarily every community, but this is a very typical home in Casson. You can see that the valuation remained relatively flat, slight reduction in valuation, but also at the bottom then you'd see that there's a small reduction in taxes. So basically it's tracking, you know, value is tracking. So for example, I know for mine, the percentage of the increase to the levy numbers matches almost identically with my valuation change. And the same thing is the case of this one here. So this is just one that was we had in town that was it brought in. We have a couple in your packet you can take a look at. And then I think we'll go right into the budget from ClearGov. We have that PDF in there included. Obviously, it's available online as well. We just thought it was simpler to have it for a PDF. And if If anyone would like a copy of that, we can email it to you, or if it's easier, just look at some Dropbox. And you can see here all the changes in revenue and expenditure. Basically, you know, there are some changes, as you know. Mostly, if you go down a couple pages there, Sarah, why don't you start into the, you know, you can see there's our revenues. Been relatively flat year over year. We're expecting to see a very small increase in local government aid this year. As you know, about 55% of the revenue the city, the general fund takes in is from property taxes. The rest of that revenue comes in, the 45%, from LGA, from fees for services, things of that nature. But it's relatively flat year over year. And that's a good thing. We see good stability in the budgeting. And that's even though we've had a number of large projects. As you're aware, you know, we've had a couple of large street projects this year. We had a couple of large utility projects. Now, the nice thing about utility projects is typically those are through our rate structure, and that's how those rate structures, when we do those rate studies, whether it's the water department, the sewer department, electric, those are intended to be self-supporting, so the general fund doesn't have to front those bills. are there any questions anyone has on revenues? Otherwise, we can go to expenditures. That's kind of where we see most of the changes year over year. Sarah, would you slide down to the expenditure pages? And I think in your budget, I think it's like page 87 or something like that. Okay, 86. Fair enough. So you can see there the expenditures by function, you know, what it supports. We want to be very transparent so people know where the money is going. And a lot of that does come down to our public safety areas. For the general fund, obviously, that is a big expense with the police and fire coverage, and we appreciate the departments and the good job they do, but, you know, we know that those are areas where there is a lot of our budget dedicated towards that, as well as the park system and a couple other areas that kind of stand out. Maybe go to the next slide there, Sarah. Get into the actual kind of nuts and bolts of the percentages. You can see, you know, what every percentage is there of actual budget. As I said, police is the number one. Then it goes capital, the park areas, swimming pool, a lot of those different fields are all broken out by percentages. So we kind of know where the money is going. And then as we continue through the presentation, you can kind of see line item by line item there, what our budgeted numbers were for this year and the budgeted numbers are for next year and the changes there. I don't want to talk too much, so I want to leave certainly anybody has questions on this. There's a lot of information there. So, you know, if there's any area anyone wants to key on, I mean, the goal for our reductions was, they're broad-based. They basically have affected all departments, you know, with healthcare especially. That was a change to every department, whether it's utilities or the general fund or liquor store or library, any of those. Most of our budgets are very small in terms of incremental changes, between 3% and 5% increases. A couple of them have decreases on the general fund. I guess at the end of the day, the question is, are there any areas in particular that the council would like to reallocate funding towards? Are there areas that you think would need more funding or projects for next year that you think maybe haven't been talked about? You know, we've had a number of discussions about the budget in the past. So, you know, this is the chance for us, especially if we're going to, you know, we'll take potentially public comment here in a little bit. But before we get into that, you know, is there anything anybody has right now before we start that public comment period? You know, I've talked to the department heads. You've had, a number of them present, you know, for example, library, they're not anticipating any large projects next year, mostly, you know, wages, benefits, those are the basic costs, the cost of doing business. Obviously, with inflation, we know that inflation, thankfully, isn't as high as it was, you know, 3 years ago, but we're still seeing some of it, and, you know, some of the specialized equipment, you know, that they have in public works, or some of the oil, chemicals, those are definitely up. Library books are up. I mean, they're not going down in price. The technology support for a lot of what the library does is going up. That isn't going down. And as you know, I try to be very conservative when it comes to what we're projecting. And I think, you know, overall, this is a good conservative approach to what we're looking at. Any questions before we get into the public comment period?
There's one comment I got. I just want to make sure, like, you know, this year we were able to buy a new contractor truck for Public Works. I just want to make sure that we're looking at all that equipment out there and making sure that we're replacing it before we're spending more money on it than it's worth. Like that old contractor truck, we spent more money on that than we probably should have.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we're budgeting enough to make sure, because anytime you take time for machine down, you take you have lost revenue at there. You know, because you're spending somebody to be doing something when they should be doing something.
And capital is a tough one, because obviously those are budgets and they're big, big numbers.
I get it.
So one thing that Councilmember Johnson has recommended, and we're trying to incorporate that with next year's budget, is sort of siloing funds. Where we say, okay, you know, we don't want to have to spend it all in 1 year, and we don't want to necessarily have to borrow for it if we don't have to. So for example, like, probably in the new year, we'll have the fire department here asking about some boat. I don't know what it's going to be exactly yet, but they're going to be asking us for a big spend. So we actually started saving for that this year. We actually are putting some more money towards that capital-wise next year so that it doesn't hit the books all at the same time. And one good thing about it is, I'm good or bad, a lot of times with that equipment, it takes like 2 or 3 years to get. So, I mean, that's one nice thing where we can say, okay, you know, year one of three, year two of three, you know, we try to line those up as best we can. And we do that every spring. You know, we go through that capital improvements plan. And it hasn't always been perfect. I think we're doing a better job now with the day-to-day capital stuff, because we do use the enterprise system for our trucks. So you're not seeing that hitting the books as a capital item. It's more of an ongoing operational expense. Mm-hmm. So the things that are hitting the books are like fire trucks, big, you know, equipment that you can't get through enterprise. And I mean, I think that siloing that money, putting it away, is a good way for us to try to manage that. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
Sure.
I know Sarah and I have talked about it. You know, at the end of the year, we'll make our allocation recommendations, and the auditors will tell us what they think are good choices to try to avoid having to spend more on interest than's necessary. And we've done some internal borrowing in the past, too. You recall the last time we bought that piece of fire equipment, we did an internal borrowing from the electric department where we were able to self-finance that. It's been, you know, we've basically mm-hmm. saved all the interest costs, which has been great. So, good question.
Any other questions here from council?
I just have a comment, I guess maybe a proposal for us to consider. I was looking through the November income statement here, and I see that police and fire revenues came in well above what our estimate was. I additionally noticed that the police department has been working understaffed, which is, you know, they've been doing a great job, I think, for how few people they're running versus what they, you know, are slated to have. And consequentially, they've underspent by $345,000 as of November. So all that combined is like $500,000 of money that will probably just go into stabilization fund at the end of the year. So I would like to consider taking a small portion of that and reducing the levy for next year to return it to the taxpayers. I would propose like $60,000-$75,000 maybe, and that would just be a straight reduction of the levy.
My only question is if you're intending to continue to silo funds going forward, does that not at some point start to defeat your purpose?
Yeah, but I believe as of right now, we're not siloing anything for police and fire specifically, and those departments are the ones that did really well relative to our expectations this year in terms of revenue and expense. I would like to silo more things, but I don't think we're currently doing it like that. And that still would leave probably $300,000 of money that we could say is siloed for fire equipment or whatever the case is, right? Again, these numbers aren't final, right? Because once we get the end of the year and close the books, things could change a little bit. But I think with the departments, you know, beating our estimates on both the revenue side and the expenses side, that it wouldn't be a terrible idea to give a little bit back to the people who paid in the first place. And then the rest of it, obviously, we would have saved for future needs.
But we know we have some larger needs coming for the fire department, for instance, and
Public Works.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Public Works department beat our expectations as well.
Yeah, so, but it's snowing this year, so.
It is snowing this year, you're right.
And Public Works has a road grader, if it dies, is done.
Yep.
And they have a dump truck that's 22 years old that they are getting told eventually DOT is not going to get passed on it. So we're on that verge of that's going. If it goes, we got to buy a new one. We got to start looking now. A dump truck and plow, we just bought one. but you need both of them, especially if the grader goes down. That's, what are they, 200, 250,000?
Probably, I would say that's optimistic.
And that's optimistic, and...
If it's a used, maybe, we could get for...
Yeah, so say it's 300, and it's a year and a half to get it.
Right.
And we gotta start looking now for that, before it goes down, because if it goes down, how you plowing your streets? So, I think we gotta keep that money, because we gotta start, we've been putting them off too long. Which is good, I mean, we're getting our money out of it, but if we get to the point where we can't DOT it, or we can't fix it, I mean, the grader is that, it's, the last time they got parts on it, they got them on eBay.
I guess my biggest question with that would be, what size department do you wanna have? And, you know, I know you and I have talked about that a little bit in the future, you know, because right now, we have budgeted two officers that we don't have filled spots. So that is, you know, so to your point, Councilman Johnson, that's absolutely right. And if we are not looking at filling both of those positions next year, then I can certainly see what you're saying would make sense. We can reduce that line. I will say there has been some reductions, as you know, that we've reduced some of those a little already. But I do think, and if that's the case, that we say, hey, we're gonna approve one officer, and it's gonna be nine officers, not 10, then I think, you know, further reductions would be warranted then. You know, if there's no reason to fund it extra if you aren't gonna have that officer filled. And I know, you know, the chief's out hiring right now, and I appreciate that. I know it's not an easy thing to do, but I just wanna make sure that if we are hiring, you know, if we have those positions there,
right,
I feel like they should be funded. If we're saying we're gonna reduce it by one, then absolutely, I think you can make more reductions. You should, because you shouldn't be levying money that you don't need for those positions.
Right, but those positions are still on the books.
And as the council, you have an absolute right to make a change there if you decide to do that. But if, right now, they're in there funded, if we're not gonna try and hire two, if we're only gonna hire one, then you're absolutely right, because we look at it as, you know, $100,000, give or take, for healthcare benefits, right now, if it's a junior officer, it's not someone who's on the hiring. So, I mean, I definitely see what, you know, what Paul's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanna make sure that we're clear, you know, what we're doing, because otherwise, I don't want it to be where we don't, you know, you still think we have 10 positions, and then I have to go, you know, well, we didn't really budget for that, you know, because,
right.
I mean, that puts me in a bad spot, the chief in a bad spot.
Well, I wanted to like to ask chief, too, if... With nine, what kind of overtime and what kind of, are we having issues with vacations, sick time? You know, when you're down to nine, you're limited. If you get two out sick?
Our biggest concern is coverage, because we have to use overtime to cover a shift. Right now, we're working short a lot, too. My officers mm-hmm. are kind of getting tired of that.
Well,
by themselves, when our call load is, keeps on increasing, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I would say is, if we leave those positions in, the regular line, and I don't know if, Sarah, if you can bring that up, maybe bring up the expenditure for the PD so we can see it, I think that we might be able to reduce the overtime line. So, I mean, because there's a big jump in the overtime line this year, and that was related to 26, and that was related to basically not having those positions there, right? Because we have to, you know, we still provide the 24/7 coverage or as close to as we can. Yeah, so you can see what it goes from year to year. So, I mean, that would be something where if we're saying we're committed to keeping those positions in the regular line, we want to try and fill them, then there really shouldn't be a reason for us to necessarily need to have the overtime. And if we end up not being able to fill them, well, we go over on the overtime line, right? But then we compensate by having the money come out of the regular line. Does that make sense, Paul? So I could see where we would, I mean, I don't know if that, I think it went from, did it go from 30 to 60? I have to bring it up here. If you can zoom in a little bit on there, Sarah, and maybe break down the police one just a little bit more.
What page is it?
Okay. Well, why don't you bring up the actual, yeah, why don't you bring up the income statement? That'll be easier for people to see, too. We could just bring up the police department for year to date.
We're not in a negotiation year with them, are we?
Not next year, so it would be for 27. So next year will be the second year of our contract, then 27 would be in a negotiation year.
Just something to bear in mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the next one down that you don't have highlighted there, sir. I know it's small. Bring up the box there again. Yeah, so it's the next one down. There you go. Yep, that's the one. I know it's hard to see. Ian's got those young eyes, so you just rotate that one, and then you can bring it down to the police line, and then we'll zoom in on it and try to make it a little... I'm trying to do it on my computer right now, too.
Where is the term?
Oh, let's see. Where is police here?
Yeah.
Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but being down two officers is not for lack of trying.
Correct. We've been backgrounding people. Some people we haven't passed the background. Actually, just got several applications this week, so we're actually backgrounding another person right now. So there's some people that we're passing on, so we're looking for the best candidates.
Right.
So we're not going to just hire somebody.
Do you feel like the increase in wages has allowed you to have more applications last year? That was something we had talked about, was we wanted to be competitive with the local departments around us. Are you seeing an increase in applicants?
So, just over here.
It's on page 6 of 60, so you're
Maybe better off going sitting over here.
You can see that a lot better.
Or just go on the
Apparently the mouse doesn't travel that
far. If you just go on the computer back there, you'll pick it up real quick. Jump back there.
Go hide in the other room like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, then you're good to go then. So just zoom in on it.
So overall, there is still a statewide shortage of applicants.
Yeah, but if you scroll to the beginning of
everybody's hiring, so we're still competing against everybody.
Yeah, there's the total at the bottom.
We have some larger departments that we're competing against.
This is the number that I mentioned.
Well, just leave out 6 though, because we're looking at the salary lines.
But there are still people that like smaller.
Oh, is it hidden?
Yeah. No, we want the 101, 102, because that's where.
Yeah, it's still shown right at the top.
Is right up here. So the overtime.
Yeah, it's right at the. It's right at the top.
Yeah, year to date, we are at spend is 710, and projecting out another month would put it probably like 780, and then budget this year was 946. So we would anticipate to have about, we're over budget on salaries.
But does that have our new body cams and all that stuff we bought?
No, this is the year-to-date spend, not what we're talking about for next year. But
okay.
But I'm indicating, so like right now we're at $68,000 for overtime, and we budgeted 30 for 25.
Sure.
On next year's budget, we're at $60,000 for overtime. And so we did have that increase there, and I think if we're committed to continue to fund the officers in the regular line, that's my point, I guess,
yep.
is that you should be able to take that overtime line and cut that back some.
Back down.
But if you know that you're going to have the overtime, then you're better off reducing. If you wanted to make a reduction, you make a reduction of one of the officers, the full times, and then keep that overtime line higher. So, I mean, I think you do one or the other. I don't think you necessarily want to do both.
Right.
That'd be my opinion. But I could say where, hey, if we're going to keep the regular line intact, then you can cut that back from 60,000 to 30,000 again. And then if you don't end up hiring the officer, we just know that the overtime cost is being offset by the regular wage, which is what's being doing. That's what's doing. Even though we're over budget in the overtime line this year, we're still under budget overall because it's being covered by the regular wage line. So, I mean, you could look at, that'd be $30,000. That could be reduced then. And, I mean, that would be, that would bring you under 6%. So, I mean, I think that could be something you could do.
I think what, I'm okay with it. I think the budgeted expenses for next year. What I want to try and get a handle on is what happens to the excess that we're going to have from this year, right? Because government-wide, all the excess that there is just gets put in the stabilization. And to Dan's point, a lot of times we end up using that for large stuff. And what I would like to see is just, and we're working that with what Tim was saying with siloing, is a more detailed plan with our capital so that we can have less going into that stabilization, have it already assigned to things. Because if we could just dump it in the stabilization, that's basically a slush fund. And I would rather have a plan for that excess money in advance rather than be like, okay, here's this project that came up. Should we use it or not? I'd rather already have it planned. So I guess that's kind of why I like the siloing idea, and I would like to see us do more of that. As Dan mentioned, like we need to be planning for capital for the parks or streets, which I think we are.
Not enough.
Maybe not enough, but
definitely
but we
not.
Are. What I really want to avoid is over-levying. So for 2025, technically we over-levied by however much, the numbers we'll find out in January at some time how much we over-levied. And I just want us to keep that number to a minimum. Right, so by either reducing the following year's levy, reducing our margin is essentially returning some of the extra levy from the prior year. So that's kind of what I was getting at. Not necessarily like reducing any of our expenses, but let's take some of our stabilization to allow us to reduce our levy for 2026. And I, again, like even if it was just $30,000, Tim said, that would bring us from 6.5 down to under 6%, which, you know, $30,000 is relatively small on the scale of how much money we're playing with for the, as a city, but how much that's going to affect the property taxes is, and compared to other cities around us, that'll be a pretty big benefit. So I think when I was looking at my statement, Casson was the highest increased city in Dodge County, which I don't have my statement.
Manorville's at 12.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Manorville's 12.5%.
Yeah, I looked at Manorville and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't count.
No, we're not even close.
It counts, they're going to charge them.
Yeah, you're right, they're like 12-some percent. I don't, they must have had something unusual happen this year, but...
Well, it's all the cities in Dodge County.
Yeah, it's everything in...
I mean, I think overall, like, you know, I would say the Post Bulletin had a really good article, if you have a chance, check that out today, talking about, and they have some really good maps, too. And I could even see if I can bring that up. Maybe, certainly for next week, we could have that article. And it shows, like, I think we're in a very competitive position because, you know, the way we set ours up, it's similar to what, you know, we looked at the taxable market value gain, so the taxes would be, the tax rate would be flat. So the projected tax rate for us is actually declining 1% at the 7.8 level. Now, we're reducing that down from 7.8 to 6.4. That's already a 15% decrease. To that increase.
Of what that shows there, yes.
Right. So, I mean, for me, and the tangible dollars, like on my tax bill, it's about that, if we just locked it at that level, I'd be looking at about $50 increase on my house, which is value-driven, you know, because my value went up on my home. So, I don't want to leave a department short shrift if we're still telling them, hey, it's okay to have these officers. If we're saying, hey, no, we're not, then I agree. I mean, we don't want to levy for something that we're not going to do. I understand that. So I guess that'd be my perspective, is not making sure that they have the resources they need and giving the chief a good guidance, like, hey, this is the number of officers you can do. Otherwise, I don't want them going after and trying to hire somebody if we're not going to give them the funding for it.
I'd like to see us keep trying to hire that next officer. If you have applicants that you think are ready, I think we keep that plan in motion because we want to have enough so we can cover those times where someone's sick or on vacation and not feel like there's enough coverage. And that's been our goal the last couple of years. Yeah. And maybe that's something we reevaluate in our March session. If there's a big issue where we don't think it's going to work, then maybe that's something we talk about in our work session too.
Yeah. I say yeah, because we don't want to wear them out. If they get overwhelmed.
And they leave.
And they leave to where they get to the time off that they, you know, it's just like when we go to work. We appreciate our time off, too. And if we are overwhelmed with work, we'll look for somewhere. Yeah, I think we want to keep that in there. And see, we've been trying to find for the last couple of years. So do we just reduce the overtime?
Well, I mean, I think if we're committed to trying to do those officers, like I said, the goal would be to fill them, which if they're filled, then overtime should go down. And if we're not able to fill them, then... We have overtime costs that are higher, but we can offset that with the regular wage line that's higher. So, I mean, it's going to end up being a positive for us because we have some flexibility then. Either we have overtime or we have two officers, and then we reduce the overtime. I guess I'm comfortable with that myself because, to Paul's point, I mean, our goal is to try and do the best we can for the taxpayers, but also provide all the services that people want.
Right.
You know, and nothing's getting cheaper. So I'd be comfortable with that. That's up to you. But, I mean, I think that's not a bad idea is... If we're committed to doing the 10 officers and leaving that line there, then reducing it, the overtime line.
I would agree with that. And I appreciate that Paul looks so deeply at these type of things, and that helps. So, yeah, I don't see an issue with that as long as we are committed to that next officer.
All right. Well, it's up to you guys. You know, we won't vote on tonight because obviously we're going to have the continuing hearing. We won't finalize it, but... you know, we can take, you know, start the hearing tonight if you want.
Yes, I will start the hearing.
Comment and then.
So, I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing so we can discuss budget. If anybody would like to come forward, please do. I realize that people didn't get their statement until today or yesterday. Seeing no one, I will...
Recess
this hearing until next Wednesday.
Yep.
So then people will have more time to look over their statements and come forward with any more concerns or questions. Okay.
In the meantime, if the council would give us direction, we can look at that reduction, if that's what you'd like us to do. It's up to you. I don't need a motion, you know, a simple direction would be fine. Right now, like I said, we did budget in 25, 30,000. We're well over that. We're at 60, 68,000 year to date, which will probably still go a little higher. And next year, we do have budget 70 or 60,000. So I can reduce that down to 30 or 35 or whatever you direct us to do.
I would leave it at least 35 because you never know the what ifs, what all of a sudden you have an emergency.
I mean, wages will go up too.
Wages are going up, so you're going to have that.
Okay.
But then you're going to have the emergencies too, where you have no choice but to call in and have overtime. We see that at the Public Works just this weekend with that
issue.
Gas issue. So, I mean, we want to make sure the coverage is there. We don't want to cut it short.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just covering shifts. It's actually putting extra officers on too, for like Festival in the Park, Big Iron Classic. That's where we want to have more officers on. Tomorrow night we have, Friday night, we have a parade. We're bringing in extra officers for that. Step by 30. This is kind of, so it's not just to cover shifts.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Setting officers to training too. That's usually having off days, overtime. So there's more to it than just covering shifts. And
well, maybe we keep adding extra services. Maybe it should be 40,000, just in case. I mean,
you let me know what you
because like Friday night, there's 19 different vehicles lined up for a parade that for the Christmas. They start Friday night with a parade, and then Saturday is Casting Christmas downtown. It's in the afternoon, like 11 to 3. So
that's right. Well, how about this?
We'll keep discussing.
You know, we have time to talk about some more. If you have feedback, you can certainly email me. Let me know. And I can tell you what it would be. You know, I can get you a number. I'll email it to you and say, okay, if we reduced it by this amount, it would be this percentage. If it was this amount, maybe I'll give you a couple options and see what you think about that. You had something else to
say? Yeah. We do see a big drop in our stabilization fund from, 2.1 million down to under 500,000 by 2027 on that.
Yeah, if you go to the CFP, Mr. Bonney's financial projections, you can see the estimates he has there too. And obviously those are tied into projects that we do or don't do.
Yeah.
So that's also, council driven.
And we have projects that we've tried to keep pushing back, and if we put those extra funds that we've saved over the last year into that stabilization fund, some of those funds could go towards some of those projects we pushed back, I would assume.
Yeah, if you look at that second to last slide, there is that projected drop. Like, once again, it's all driven by, kind of how, and one thing that we did this year was we didn't borrow as much money, you recall, because we said we were going to put stabilization funds towards that. And so that does drive part of the drop, too, because we discussed that as a council, and I think, Paul brought up before, well, why don't we put some more cash into it? And so that's kind of what we did instead.
So we're going to need some in there for that.
Well, I mean, I think the stabilization is for keeping our rates and our tax levies from getting too high.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, is to try and support that. And that's what it's for. Otherwise, so anyway.
I would just say that, secondarily, in my mind, the snow and ice removal budgets for the last couple of years has been pretty well underspent, right? And I would, when we're choosing what to spend our stabilization money on, I'd like to kind of have that in mind, right? If a question comes up this year and be like, hey, we need a new plow, it's like, yeah, sure, just go do that. Like, you guys underspent the last couple of years, go get a plow with that money that we already levied for you guys that wasn't spent. Like, it's an easier decision for me to say that, the ice and snow removal budget has been underspent for a couple of years, so we can take some of that money and get them something, right? Same thing with the streets or the police or the fire. I'd like to me, there's that secondary objective of that, like, okay, the police has been doing really good at meeting their budgets and being under it, so when they come to us with an ask, it's easier for me to be like, you guys have been providing funds to stabilization by underspending. So it's easier for me to say, go ahead and have this ask that you're looking for, So that's kind of why I like this siloing idea, is because I want to be able to reward the people that are leading these departments and make those decisions easier on us too. So, and maybe I'm the only one that thinks that, but
no, I don't.
Part
I don't
of
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I don't disagree, but what I don't want to see us do is go back to the council before, you know, back when all of the projects were kicked down the road, nothing was done, and then all of a sudden here we have to jack everything up because our roads are falling apart, our sewers are collapsing, you know. I don't want to go back to that. And having things be stable as they've been for the last 10-ish years?
I suppose, yeah.
Has been...
6 years. 6 years.
Okay, yeah, 6 years.
6 years. 6 or 7.
But, yeah, exactly, 6, 7. It's been, I think, good for the taxpayers to have an idea. Like, we're not going to need to jack things up to cover repaving as much as we did back when we got slapped with that the first few times.
A small growth every year, you know. Maybe we put a little in, save a little more every year, is better than... All of a sudden, we kept cutting and cutting and cutting. Ooh, we're going to have to raise your levy 12%.
I mean, I guess I will say, you know, so one thing we included in tonight was earlier this year, recall, we did that debt issuance and we had the S&P re-rating. Mm-hmm. So we got a AAA rating, which for a town of our size on a debt issuance is very, very good. The other big credit agency is Moody's. They do, you know, S&P does it, Moody's mm-hmm. does it. Sarah went through this process with them and they did an upgrade for our credit rating as well. And, you know, you can see they upgraded it to AA2, which is, they do it a little differently from S&P, how they classify it. One of the biggest, you know, strengths they gave us was, and you've got these two in your packet here, very strong reserves and liquidity and, you know, modest but growing local economy with increasing population. And, you know, so a lot of it has to do with making sure that we have those, you know, positive things. So if we do have to do things, street projects, we can go to the debt markets, you know, in a strong position. And I think that, and I appreciate Sarah working on that because she spent a lot of time with the, I wasn't here for a lot of that when she was talking things through with them. But, I mean, my goal has always been to provide that, you know, options for you. So you yes. can say, hey, we do want to do this or we need to add that person. To Paul's point, like, we want to be able to give people the opportunity to, if we see an opportunity, okay, well, shoot, this equipment's on sale or we can get a, you know, good deal. There's very few good deals, I wish. you know, not pouch. Tall sales don't seem to happen very often.
No Black Friday, yeah.
You know, contractor trucks. But I mean, you know, we want to be able to take advantage of that when we can, you know, or if there's an opportunity. So,
and
I mean, yeah.
Back to what Mel said, too, you know, we've been stable. Just remember that we can earmark money today to be spent on something next year. There's no guarantee that after another election or after a council change, that money can be earmarked completely different. You gotta, you know, as much as you want to, it's not, you know, we gotta make sure we're saving smart and spending smart. And, you know, I like to think we are. I know it's hard, but.
Paul, do you have a department right now that you don't feel like is doing a good job with their budget? Because one of the things you mentioned was, you want to reward the ones that are spending under their budget, but no matter what department it is, it's all part of our town. So those reserves can support any of them. If something comes in over budget or there's a big issue that we have to pay for and we have to go into stabilization because they went over their budget, are you going to end up penalizing them the next time they ask for something because they went over their budget the year before? There's two sides to this.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are there.
I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily punishing, but we would want to take a closer look at planning in the following years of why we underestimated the budget is all, right? So, like, I wouldn't say that certain departments might get rewarded for doing good. That doesn't necessarily mean the ones that don't do as good get punished. It's just, you know, we just need to look at it and plan better. Is I guess what I would say.
When you're always going to have that 10 to 15% what ifs mm-hmm. for any department, and you got to, and that's where the stabilization fund comes, because you don't know if an emergency is going to come up anywhere, or a disaster could happen, or.
Well, I mean, a good example would be the library, you know, project where we had a leaky roof, and you know we ended up tapping stabilization to pay for a big part of that. The library fund used some of their funds too, but I mean that was $300,000, and yeah. We were able to fix it. Without having to go to the debt markets, without having to do anything like that. I will say, one thing to keep an eye on when you're reviewing this, you know, for example, last year the thought process was to use some funds we had on account to spend down. So if you go to like the PD and their capital line, you'll see that they are negative there. Just so
you know, like, that is a negative line, because the direction from council last year was, we still have some money left over from the public safety dollars that came in. Don't budget for that, you know, don't budget for that car, but we still bought the car, and we upgraded it, and unfortunately, the aftermarket, and Josh can attest to that, the aftermarket is a lot more, the additions to vehicles now are a lot more than they used to be. So that is a negative, you know, you'll see negative, I don't know, $60,000. That was directed, you know, that wasn't that they didn't manage it properly, it's just that was the direction from council at the time was, we're gonna spend down our fund balance, so that will be a negative against the bottom line. But we know that we have a little funding that's in the that was there, plus, you know, we had an idea that we might be, you know, on the plus side on the operations, so, anyway.
And I think if you ask.
If you ever have questions on that, I'm glad to sit down with people. If you see something, you're like, oh, why is it negative, or why does it make sense, you know? I take the bad, I also love it when we're plus, you know, we love that, but I mean, you know, there's usually a reason for why things are a little off, too, so. Otherwise, I think that's what we have. If there's other information you'd like, we included a ton of information there tonight. If there's information, other things you want us to see, I'll forward that article from the Post Bulletin out, you can kind of, they've got some good graphics for our area and communities in our area. Otherwise, we'll plan on having that continued hearing next week.
Continue next Wednesday.
And then we'll have an updated resolution for you, for the packet, if that's amenable to the council.
Okay. With that, if we do put more into the stabilization fund, would that slide number, I don't know what page it is, would that update, would Mike Bubani update that for us, would that change, like, so we can see, just so we can see how that looks, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think I'll ask him to implement it, and he can see if he can plug that into his updated PFP, but he'll always do that every time we have a meeting with him, so in progress, we would have that. It's always gonna be based on which projects you guys decide to pursue or not pursue, so, yeah, we can definitely have him plug that in, or ask him to.
All right, thank you, everybody. There's no new business, let's see, administrators report.
Sure, I've got a few things tonight. Let me get back to that here, get out of the budget stuff, just a second. And I just wanna put, I really do appreciate the time Sarah's put a lot of time in with ClearGov especially. I feel like it's been a good process, you know, she's learned a lot. We wanna be as transparent as we can. You know, it's on the website, so members of the public can take a look at it, and we also, like I said, you can download as a PDF, or we'll be glad to email that out to people. You've all got it through Dropbox, but it's all available online.
I like the way it's laid out.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see the graphics, it makes it really clear. So we talked about budgets tonight. They included some information from the state there. Legislative commissions are looking at the data challenges, so we have a knowledge that we're gonna have to update the city website here in the next 18 months or so to make it fully accessible. That's a new legislation that came out, so it has to be fully accessible for people who have visual or sight impairments, or I think hearing impairments too, so we're working on that. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the electric service territory acquisition. As you know, the goal the council's laid out is for us to serve all of Casson's residents with Casson Public Utilities. So we've been negotiating, and I have it laid out there kind of in my note. We've been negotiating with Peoples. That information that's included is a trade secret. So it is confidential for you all, so just keep that in mind. I think we'll probably have a closed session at the next meeting just to see if we can finalize that. Because I know that Mike Hinkey, who's the CEO, current CEO, is retiring at the end of the year, and he would like to have that. He's asked us to try and finalize it before he retires, because he doesn't want to hand that off to his successor. So we have the information in your packet for that to take a look, and we'll have some more discussion at next week's meeting. Boards and committees, still looking for some boards and commissions, especially the library board. I think there's two vacancies, the library board right now, that I know when I talked to David, he thought one of the current commissioners might be willing to do another term. But they have two vacancies, and we haven't had a lot of, we've had some applications for Park and Rec, and we've had application for
EDA.
So we're thinking that, you know, those two might be okay, but library board, if you know anybody who's interested in that, you know, we certainly would. And they do a lot of cool stuff over there, so it's a good thing. That's possible too, yeah. Physical conditions, include that in there. And then I do have in your packet, I wanted to just highlight, because there were some questions from council members regarding, you know, the electrical system. So I did include another copy of that system study that we looked at earlier this year. And I think there were some, it's one of the reasons we did that rate study this year as well. So just wanted to highlight, you know, that what we're looking at is a couple of different projects. I think I let you all know that Xcel did complete their first phase study. So the project that was approved at our last meeting is kind of one project. The second project we're looking at, this electric system would be a substation. And Xcel did let us know that they think they have the capacity to serve, so we have our own substation. So right now, we're all fed off of the sub up on 16th Street, which is good and bad. I mean, as Casson, when Casson was a smaller community, it was a plus, lower cost, relatively easy. Without having your own substation, you don't really control your own destiny a little bit, because they can put limits on you. For example, if we had a large industrial customer come and say, well, I wanted to use X, Y, and Z, Xcel could just say, nope, can't do it. They wouldn't serve it. And then we'd be stuck. And I don't like having that kind of handcuff. So they've let us know that they think they would be able to serve up to 27 megawatts of load with transmission. So the next phase is a different study. It's called a facility study. When Xcel basically says, okay, well, we think we can serve the load, we have the capacity to do that. We know that there's three lines that come into Casson: the Byron line, the Dodge Center line, and the line that comes from Manor Road. So we're in a good spot for the capacity. Now they're going to tell us how much it's going to cost for us to hook onto their system, basically, with which we're, what would end up being is a small transmission line, I don't know how long it would be, into our own sub. And then we'd have our own ability to control it. So that's kind of the second project of that three phase. If you look through the report, let me know if you have any questions on it. We aren't planning on doing any borrowing for the projects that were already approved. That's going to be a cash flow project. Thanks mostly to the tax credits that we're able to get before the end of the year. When and if we do the substation, there's likely would be some borrowing involved in that. It is, the rate study was designed so that it's covered in the current rates that were approved by the council. So there aren't any rate increases that are necessary for that. So, anyways, lots of talking for me tonight. The rest of our agenda looks pretty clear, so I will just shut up and see if anybody has any questions.
Did we have, we had some locations we discussed in March, right, for that substation?
Yeah, originally they were looking at a location in the southwest part of town, kind of off of 34. I think we've switched to a location that would be closer to Public Works.
Okay.
So it's possible, you know kind of where the sled hill is?
Yes.
You know, right off the bridge there. We would leave that part alone because it's so steep, but a little bit to the west of that, it's a little bit flatter, and so we probably would build up a platform. And the substation wouldn't necessarily be as big, like you drive past Xcel's, it's about an acre.
Yeah.
So ours would not be that size. Theirs is a very large substation. Mm-hmm. Ours would probably be maybe, we might leave it half the size of it because we might want to be able to expand inside of that footprint. Yep. But that's probably where you'd put it because it's very close to the transmission lines then. So the hope would be that Xcel says, oh yeah, it's only a half mile transmission, it'll cost, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, so don't give us a number, because I don't know, you know, they're probably listening, so they'll be like, oh no, that's too low.
50 cents.
But anyway, no, it won't be that. So I think that's the location we would probably put the sub is up by Public Works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would have to be all fenced. And
yeah, that'd be fenced. I mean, the nice thing is we don't have to acquire property for that. You know, that's already a site we would control and we'd own, so there's some positives to that. So, and it wouldn't be right next to a residential neighborhood. It would be right, you know, next to Public Works. So we wouldn't have to worry about it being in somebody's backyard or anything.
Would that have any impact on the one that's currently by the community ed building?
What could happen is that they might run their transmission line from there
to
our new one. It would probably be above, up ahead, it'd be a above ground line.
Okay.
It would just be on the current poles that they have. So there probably would be almost no effect, really.
Okay.
Most people wouldn't even notice it.
Okay.
I'm guessing. We might bore under 16 there, because putting that heavy transmission line under and then running it along on the north side of 16, that's what I would guess. But I'm not an electrical engineer, and Jared will probably tell me I'm you know, barking for the wrong trees.
That's fair. Thank you.
Good.
All right. It's nothing for personnel. Oh, wait, sorry. Engineer's report. There's updates. I wrote it, I forgot.
Best, quickest update tonight. So nothing formal tonight for the council. As the mayor mentioned, construction has kind of halted for the season. 16th Street's open. We will be closing that back down sometime next season to kind of finish everything off there. I just want to note, Trail Under Highway 14, our application for funding to the state, we're wrapping that up. We got to submit that here in a couple weeks. Just want to note that we are getting letters of support from PD with the chief, fire department, EDA. The mayor signed one on behalf of the EDA, Dodge County, Bigelow Homes, ALS, who owns Windsor Court, and the Casson Crossing projects in the KM school. So if you see them, thank them for their letter of support, because that, I think, really drives home our applications. So it's good to get those letters of support. So thank them. With that said, there are probably going to be a lot of applications, so we'll see how competitive it is. But I think it's a good application, and we'll see. So that's all I had. Anything for me? I'm happy to answer any questions. So. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. No personnel, nothing from an attorney?
No.
Correspondence, any? None in the packet.
I had a citizen reach out, they want to talk at the next meeting. Ally Knutson wants to come talk about the Veterans Memorial Project. So I think she, I think she might be on that committee, or she works with the committee.
Sure, we can totally add that to the agenda.
But she wanted that added.
Great.
So she wanted to come and do more than just talk and have us listen, she wanted to have that conversation back and forth, so. I think she's representing the committee for that.
I didn't hear it all, I just put Veterans Memorial, sorry. What was the name?
Ally Knutson.
Ally Knutson.
I can get your contact if you need it.
Nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn. Oh, before we do, remember, next week is the last meeting of the month, the year. And make sure you get your minutes or miles, meetings, all that in to the city by the 15th.
Don't show before 15th, okay.
Please don't forget to get those turned in. And I think that's it, so I would take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
Ryan, do we have a second?
Second.
Mel, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Thank you, everybody.
Are we gonna keep doing the round table thing now that?
Yeah, I mean, if you have round table.